Blog Talk Radio.
Well, bless the Almighty Creator. Hallelujah. Elohim, Jehovah, Yahweh. You're going to hear me say those names today. I just love him and I thank him. He is the Most High. And those who've been called out to live set apart lives are saints. You know, we've been called out, set apart. Those who by faith in his beloved son, Yeshua, who follow his truth, who depend on him, and who trust and believe in him. Greetings. It is a blessing. It is a blessing. And I'm thankful that I have faith and I have the belief in his son to be restored back to him, to the Most High. I'm also thankful for you today, those who called to tune in on Crown Talking Drums Radio early this Sunday morning. It's August the 20th. Seemed like it was just August the 1st. Seemed like it was just January the 1st. Time is just clicking right on by. It's not waiting on anyone. It keeps ticking into the future. Yes, this is the beginning of a brand new week. Just a few minutes, well, 1 minute after 7, looking at my clock. But it may be the middle of the day or late at night for someone tuning in live. I'm not sure. Or someone listening to the recorded broadcast. But either way, I'm just glad you decided to add this time to your schedule. As the Father sees fit and being led by the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about his good news. I love talking about his good news. Hallelujah. Yes, and you know when we talk about his good news, sometimes good news doesn't feel comfortable. But guess what? It doesn't change the fact that it's good news. The gospel truth is good news, even when it doesn't feel good. But it helps to make us straight. That's what I love about it. It helps to, if we're going to take heed to it, if we're going to do what it says, it's going to make us uncomfortable. But that helps gets us, it helps to get us in line. That's what I love about the good news. So welcome to For Such a Time as This. My name is Sarepta Cunningham. I'm grateful that Elohim has given me the opportunity and a willingness to share of his goodness and his faithfulness. In this space, I'm going to share whatever space I'm in, but this is a different space, the space of the airwaves. Yes, I don't take it for granted that I get to encourage others and myself with his truth that elevates us and brings the very life of himself to the forefront. It's not about me. It's about him. And again, I'm just grateful and thankful. As we know, it's just so much going on in this world, in the political and governmental arena, a lot of chaos going on in the leadership. You know, young children and teenage crime with the gun violence. It's so much, you know, just even this week, I heard of a story of an 11-year-old who went to work with his mom who was babysitting an 8-year-old, and he killed that 8-year-old. That is so sad. He must have knew the combination to the safe, or I don't even know if maybe he was just hearing his mom talking about this child she was keeping, and he ended up going with, and he said, she talked about this person too. I don't know if it was a girl, a boy, or I don't know the details, but it's just sad. These kind of things are taking place in the world today. Then all this twisted up, these laws and rights for the gay and lesbianism and abortion laws, it's just so much. Homelessness is rampant. Food prices and gas prices up and down. You know, the mental instability is going on. You hear it more so, it's just talked about more so. And it's like it's all these things are happening to bring fear. into us. And if we sit there and watch it and meditate on it long enough, we will become fearful. But as a set apart one, those who may be listening and are hoping and praying that you have accepted Yeshua Messiah as your personal Savior, you're going to hear me call him by his name. We all have a name. And when you go back to the Hebrew learning of the original writing of the word, a J was not even included in the alphabet for the name Jesus. It's Yeshua. That's his name, which in Exodus we were told not to ever change the name. He was called the Messiah, the promised one who was to come. That's the word Christ, Messiah. That's why you hear me say Yeshua, Messiah. I'm not ashamed of his name, just like I want to be called by my name. And I believe you want to be called by your name. You don't want to be called out. But we know even when Yeshua, when the Messiah walked on the earth, he was called everything outside of his name. But that's okay. He still did the will of his Father. And that's what I want to do today. I want to do the will of my Father. So even with all things going on, you know, the division in the families on so many different levels, war still taking place, Ukraine, Russia, and even the rumors of elevated wars even going to take place. I mean, all these things are being talked about. But we were warned about these things. So these things shouldn't even take us off guard. And yes, all of it's on the rise. The scripture lets us know, you know, these things will be on the rise. But it still won't be the end yet. So as long as we're living on this earth, things will wax worse and worse. But the key, hallelujah, for us, as believers, is the truth. Those who believe in the truth of Yeshua Messiah, we just must continue to and trust the Heavenly Father fully with his word, with what his word says. His word has the final say for every battle. I don't care what it is. His word takes precedence over each situation, each circumstance that we may be in, that we may have been in. We look back over our lives. Amen. His word still has the final say. And with me saying all that, if ever there was a time in the world today for kingdom encouragement through the word of the living Elohim, our creator, and if ever was a time for effectual, fervent prayer, the time is now. So I hope you come with spiritual ears to hear what the Father has to say today. And your spiritual eyes open to see what's really going on in the world. As followers of Yeshua Messiah, we will or we can continue to go forth being effective kingdom citizens in which the Most High has anointed and appointed us to be for his kingdom. It's all about the King and his kingdom. I speak his shalom peace to you. Let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this brand new day that you have allowed us to see. A day of new mercy, not getting what we may deserve. A day of new graces, getting what we do not deserve. Help us to not take it for granted that you woke us up. Yes, and we're in our right state of mind. You did that. Thank you, Father. We have the use and the activity of our limbs. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You did that. You've given that to us. Our senses are at work. We can see and smell and taste and feel. Thank you, Father. You did that, and you were doing that for us. I even want to take the time to thank you for being our sole provider. You are Jehovah. You provide all things. By your grace,
We didn't wake up this morning after having to lay down on a cardboard box. Thank you, Father. We didn't have to lay on a box all night long or in a tent or even on the ground. I see so much of that as I'm going about the day in the Charlotte area, in the Gaston County area. You see, when I'm out early, I see them getting up the ground. And I say, Father, but for your grace, that could be me right there. You're so gracious. Hopefully, we aren't having any experiences, Father, where our next meal or bath is going to come from. I pray anyone that hears the sound of my voice are not experiencing that right now. We weren't forced to eat from a garbage can or had to walk around dirty and smelly and stinky. Thank you, Father. We don't even have to drink the same water that we bathe in, that they do in some foreign country. They have to drink the same poisonous water that they have to take a bath in. We take so many things for granted. Help us. Help us, Father. We need you. Help us not to take these things for granted. Now, Heavenly Father, I just ask with your guidance and the help and the aid of your Holy Spirit that we speak your word to the listening ears of people who desire to be encouraged and elevated in you. Father, you are welcome. Yes, you're welcome to take over and infiltrate this time in your presence for such a time as this. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Saints and those who's listening right now, I just want to encourage you. I'm filled up with the presence of my Father. I feel his help, his aid, his assistance. Amen. And I thank him this morning. You know, last week we had some technical difficulties, but that's okay. Anything that's made by man is apt to have technical, and it's not just in the technical field, but it's apt to err. It's apt to have some mishaps, and that's okay. Those who were able to listen heard the word where we talked about change. Amen. And we're going to continue on in that just a little bit, I'm sure. A lot of times the messages just reflect upon the previous message. Amen. But today I heard the word as I was in a conversation. And that word just kept coming to me yesterday when I was in conversation. And the word just came out of my mouth and then it kept ringing in my head. Bewitched. Bewitched. My. And I start hearing that as I was coming in the door and as I was getting my stuff organized and getting together. I was on the phone conversation. And then when I hung up, I heard it again. I was like, okay. But then so many different things took place. I was trying to get calm and phone was ringing and different things. And then I ended up getting on a phone call, which I was on when I looked at the time for an hour and 50 minutes. I'm like, oh, Father, I repented. I said, this is my time with you. I tried to get off the call a couple of times. And then I had to say, I need to be preparing for what the Father would have me to share on tomorrow with his people. Amen. With whoever's listening in. And then that word came again. So I had a little bit of a late night. But then I said, no, let's just go to sleep and get some rest. Father, wake me up early in the morning so I can get before you and hear you a little more clearly. And he did just that. Well, of course, the first word I heard again this morning when I woke up, when he woke me up, was bewitched. My. So he still had me in that vein. I'm grateful to him. Whatever he says, I just want to give it out and share it. It's up to the hearers, even myself. I'm hearing what he has to say too. So I have to take heed to what he's saying. Amen. Bewitched.
As I went to look up the definition of that word, amen, through, you know, my Strong's Concordance, through my research and my Strong's and the dictionary, and I was like, wow, this word is only mentioned. And I knew it was in the scripture because I read it several times. I read over it and through it several times. But it's written in one passage of scripture in the book of Acts, with a separate meaning than the way that the Father gave me and how he was giving me other pieces in my thought processes, in my mind. Because I kind of knew what it meant, but I still needed to revisit what it meant. Amen. Because I've heard it over the years and read it over the years. So the particular passage of scripture, which we were in Galatians last week, talking about change. When Paul was going there, revisiting where he sent, this time, I believe it was a letter, because he had visited the Galatians several times. He was there sharing with them the laws, the commandments of his Father. Amen. Because we know when Yeshua was teaching, the New Testament had not even been written yet. He was teaching from the Old Covenant. He was teaching from the Torah, from the Old Testament and the Old Covenant. He was teaching from, because the Old Testament and the Old Covenant are not the same. They're two within the same. Amen. We have the first book, five books of the law that were written by Moses. Amen. Which is the Torah. And then the rest are like testaments, Old Testaments that were written, that were writings and different writings of instruction. Amen. But we're grateful that we have all this. And now see, we get to enjoy even the more, because even after that, after Yeshua came, and then the scriptures began to be written, the New Testament and the New Covenant, because the New Testament has New Testament and New Covenant. Amen. There's a New Testament, and then there's the New Covenant. Yeshua came bringing the New Covenant from the Old Covenant. Hallelujah. That was, and it still never was supposed to change. Amen. And I'm grateful for that. But when I went to look up this word, bewitched, amen, it took me back to Galatians, that third chapter and the first verse. This is Paul, where he was encouraging them, as I was stating, and then I got a little off a little bit. He was encouraging those at he was encouraging them, because he was hearing they were slipping back into the Jewish laws and customs and traditions, their laws, their customs that were taught by the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and you know, the scribes. They were writing them, and they were writing the Jewish laws of tradition. But that's why they hated Yeshua so much, because he came talking of the covenant of his Father. Amen. That's what he came teaching. That's why he was so hated. That's why they wanted to kill him and destroy him. So you know, those of us who's coming into the knowledge of the truth of the covenant, where it was never done away with, we still have to honor it. We still have to abide by it. So you know, they're going to probably talk about us and probably call us, you know, cults or saying, what are you talking about? We in a time of grace. Grace was in the Old Covenant too. So many times you go back, you do a word search on the word grace, you're going to see how the Father extended even in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. We are living in a time of grace and favor, where the Father's not immediately, yes, destroying us. See, in the Old Covenant, there was immediate death. Immediate. He extended a different flavor of his grace. But we're still, hallelujah, have to honor his covenant, his commandments in Exodus when they were written. We are still to follow them. And see, that's what was happening. Paul was hearing that his teaching, you know, that verse that I brought out last week was in Galatians 4:20, I believe it was, where it talks about, let's go on over to Galatians. Amen. Hallelujah. I was in another passage that the Father gave, where we're going to go back there too. Amen. But Galatians 4:20, where he had even said, Paul even said, would that I were here. I wish I was with you now. I desire that I will be present with you now and change my voice. Because I'm standing in doubt of you right now. You're slipping back. I wish you could hear my voice in your very presence, and I don't have to write this to you. I've been there several times, but now you're getting bamboozled. This is what he was saying in the third chapter of Galatians to them. Amen. This is what Paul was saying. And if we remember, we may back up a little bit more there. But in that third verse, he said, O foolish Galatians, that first verse of the third chapter, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Yeshua Messiah hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? You already have seen, you already have heard, you already know what I have been teaching, and yet you're choosing to go back. This only would I learn of you, receive you by the spirit of the works of the law, of the hearing of faith. But see, what law was he talking about? He was talking about the works of the Jewish laws, of traditions and customs. See, if you go back to the first chapter, and that's why it pays for us to know what's being said here. Because a lot of statements Paul made when he talked about you no longer walk in the spirit, no longer under the law, but by the spirit, where he's not talking about the covenant, the commandments of the law. He's talking about the Jewish laws of the fathers, of the Pharisees, and the Jewish laws. That's what he's talking about. Amen. So we have to be able to rightly divide the word of truth in order to understand what we're reading. Because there's so much being taught in churches across the pulpit that's incorrect. Yes, I'm going to say that. It's incorrect. That's why over the years, I've had so many questions within my mind where this is what you're saying here. I'm believing, but then I'm hearing that. This don't make sense to me. And I'm so glad I've always had that inquisitiveness about me. And I've always went to the Father about it. And even during this time of years of not going to an actual or being connected to an actual church that it's called today, but really that was changed. The church is the ecclesia. The ecclesia, you know, that's the Hebrew name. And it just means the gathering, the assembly, or the congregate, where you come together to get equipped to go forth. And then when you look at it, the churches or the ecclesia, they're so divided. You've got so many different denominations, and that's nothing but division. All this kind of stuff the Father was dealing with me about over the years. And I always questioned him, this don't make sense. Something's not right. We're supposed to come together. That's why when I would go to fellowships and I would see, one good thing I would love seeing was multicultural ministries together. But a lot of times the word that's coming forth is still not the truth. But I would love that part about it. But see, there's no exception to any rules of it. We have to line up with what the word tells us, according to the commandments that the Father has originally. That's why I truly honor the Sabbath now, which is Saturday. It is Shabbat. That was the name Saturday. The name Saturday was Shabbat originally. And I honor it and keep it holy. I've had to change and still changing some things from things I've been taught that were incorrect for me, that were incorrect for my walk with the Father. Let me say it that way. And I can't help, now that I'm understanding and gaining more understanding, he tells us in all our ways to get an understanding. And now that I'm gaining the understanding and seeing things where I was, Lot was incorrect,
You know, it's like I'm a new baby almost all over again, and I'm excited about that. But I just love it. But I just want to encourage you today in the Word. Hallelujah. That's all we have. That's all I have. That's what keeps me sound. That's what keeps me sane and together. The Word. Hallelujah. I don't want to be foolish. I want to understand what I'm reading, why it was written, the time it was written, and why was it written? What was it written for? Why was it talked about? And so how would that pertain to me? I don't want to be bewitched. That word means fascinate, to fascinate. The Greek word for bewitch is baskaino. Baskaino. To fascinate by false representation. We got a lot of that taking place in the churches today. A lot of false representation. Because the truth is really still not being taught. A lot of the messengers think they're teaching the truth, but they're teaching it in error. Thinking that no longer we have to live and abide by the commandments. We're in grace now. Oh, that's done away with. We're sinners saved by grace. No, I don't go around every day practicing sin. I don't. We have to look when that was written, read all the verbiage around it and understand what you're reading. That's what we have to, that's why the Father says study to show ourselves approved unto him. A workman that need not to be ashamed. Rightly, and I've always prayed, Father, I want to rightly divide your truth. That's always been my prayer before him. Because the scripture lets us know those who teaching the word are going to be held with a greater judgment. That is in the scripture. And I wish I had knew exactly where it was. But I don't. But it's there. Search it out. Do a word search. Those who teach the word are going to be held with a higher judgment. That's why we got to, we must understand because we are to make disciples of men. And if we're instructed to be disciples, and then to make disciples of men, we can't make disciples of men if we're teaching them a bunch of lies. And I was taught a bunch of lies over the years because it wasn't the truth of the truth. Let me put it like that. Because that's what I say when the Father led me, when I didn't know what the next part of my journey was, where I was going. In the passing of my husband. And I was waiting, didn't know what it was going to look like for us, him to get back up into the ministry and me to walk right there with him. But even us knowing the Sabbath was on Saturday, we didn't honor it. We didn't remember it and keep it holy. Because during that time, when you go back and look at the Ten Commandments, when it talks about that particular, that's the fourth commandment. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath day of Yahuwah, your Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Back then, they had a bunch of servants and different things. Well, guess what? I had someone that was cutting my grass on Saturday. I was paying him. I had to tell him, you can't come on Saturday anymore. We have to change up. I'm honoring the Sabbath. I can't even have nobody here working for me or doing any work at my home on a Saturday, at the home that the Father has blessed me with. This is his. He just gives us stewardship over these things. Everything we see is temporal and it's passing away. Every single thing gonna fade and be gone. But he's given us stewardship.
It took him, that 11th verse of Exodus 20. For in 6 days, Jehovah made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it. He told us to honor it. If he honors it, we need to honor it. And I'm definitely going to honor it. So I've changed up some things. But I don't want to be bewitched. Amen. With the word, with the teaching of the word. Hallelujah. I want to understand. I don't just go, even when going to HOI, House of Israel, where we have a Sabbath gathering, where the apostle there, he calls it training grounds. You just come there to get trained and equipped to go out. Because, see, the mission is out here. It's not in those walls. It's not in those walls. And then once, you know, he has the understanding that you come here, you get trained, and you may get trained, and then it's time for you to go on. You leave out once you're trained. That's the way it should be. But you have, pastor, when someone leaves, they get all upset. Are you a hopping? What are you? What are you doing? Why are you getting upset? Amen. I do not want to be witched. Amen. I do not want to be taught false representation. I want the truth. Amen. I want to learn it. I want to get it in me so I can teach it. The truth of our Father's truth, his word. Amen. And then when he gave me that word, he said, I want you to warn my people even the more. So another word dropped in my mind. Beware. Oh, we don't want to be bewitched. So we have to beware. Beware. Which we know that word, just hitting it, means warning. But it had different meanings as well. But the meaning in the passage of scripture that the Father gave me came coming out of Matthew. Amen. It was talking about the definition to turn one's mind or attention to a thing by being on one's guard against it. See, we have to stand guard against things, saints. Look at the Messiah. He was our example. He had to stand guard. And as we get into the scripture and read, because we're going to read almost an entire chapter in one of the books, in Matthew, and then we're going to skip around a little bit. But he was targeted. And that same spirit is here today. If he was targeted, and they thought he was some kind of Beelzebub or demon or devil, what you think they're going to think about you? Especially when you're teaching the truth. Wow. It doesn't matter. I can be excommunicated from friends, from associates. It doesn't matter. I have to speak the truth. I have to decree it and declare it. I have to stand on the wall. Sound the trumpet loud and spare not. That's what we've all been called to do. Amen. And I don't want to be a false or given false representation. I don't want to bewitch. I don't want to be bewitched. And I don't want to bewitch anyone. I don't. I am so glad and happy and grateful to the Most High, to Father. My Father, for leading me to and giving me that a fuller understanding. And I'm still learning. So much to learn. Whew. I'm excited about learning. I'm looking forward to taking the discipleship courses to learn even the more. Let us go to the book of Matthew, that 16th chapter. And the word, the Greek word for beware, the one that we're defined and talking about, is prosecco, 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 beware, warning, to turn one's mind or attention to a thing by being on one's guard against it. And as we start, I'm going to start at the first verse of the 16th chapter. of Matthew. The Pharisees, also with the Sadducees. My.
Well, let me explain it. I think I talked about who the Pharisees were before in one of the previous teaching and the scribes. But this is talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. So the Pharisees, they all are Jewish religious leaders. That's what they were, teaching the traditions. They were just from different, they had different dialects in what they believed, in other words. But they both were Jewish religious leaders. And they had different types of views, you know, on many of the issues that they did believe. The Pharisees themselves, they followed, their religious rules and traditions, believing that that was the way to Elohim. They believed that. That was the way, their tradition, their custom, their way of doing things. They believed the Jewish traditions was the way. They didn't want to hear what Yeshua had to say. They didn't want to hear about the covenant and command. They didn't want to hear that. But they did believe, one thing they did believe, in the resurrection of the dead. They believed in the authority of all the scriptures, but they couldn't get with the commandments. They couldn't get with that. Now the Sadducees, on the other hand, they accepted only the books of Moses, the Torah, the first five books. That was all they wanted to deal with. Nothing else. They didn't believe in life, that there was life after death. They don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in that. So of course they band forces. When Yeshua came on the scene, I'm talking about Jesus, Yeshua. You hear me call him by his name. When Yeshua came on the scene, those two groups had one thing in common. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to shut him up. That's what they wanted. That was their mission. So here we see, I just had to take that little explanation moment for a minute. They came up to Yeshua and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Are ye hypocrites? You can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the signs of the times? A wicked and an adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them, and he departed. He didn't have to prove nothing to them. He already knew they didn't believe. He had already been performing miracles. He had already been fed the thousands. So many things had already been done, and here they was calling and asking him to show them a sign in the sky. He said, you hypocrites, but guess what? Today, we still have people that want a sign. They want some kind of sign. They don't believe Yeshua's done all that he'd already done, what they read about he had done. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear the testament, the letters that were written in the New Testament after Yeshua left. They don't want to hear that. See, the disciples and all them followers, they didn't have the New Testament. They were the ones who wrote it. All they had was the old covenant and the Old Testament writing. That's all they had. That's all Yeshua came teaching. But yet and still today, even in this, right here, the prophet Jonah, when he talked about this, if you can remember, Yeshua gave the story of Jonah, Jonah being in the belly of the big fish for 3 days. He was in a great mouth of a great fish for 3 days. He was predicting his own resurrection. He was predicting his death and resurrection. when he was saying that. That's what he was talking about in that fourth verse. So when he left them and he departed. He didn't have to prove nothing to them because he knew what they was about. And he even made a comment, I believe it was in the book of John, where he said, blessed are those who haven't seen me, but yet they believe in me anyway. Amen. We're blessed. We believe in him. And we haven't seen him. But they were right there in his presence. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. See, they were sad, you see. They wanted to kill him and destroy him and take him out. It didn't matter what kind of differences they had among each other. That one mission they had was to destroy Yeshua Messiah. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. He was talking his father's will. He was talking his father's commandments. Amen. Fifth verse of 16th Matthew. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Yeshua said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. That's the focal verse here. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. They misunderstood. See, they thought he was talking about, they were thinking about eating, they were thinking about food. They misunderstood what he's actually telling them to beware of. Warning, warning, pay attention. Come against what you're hearing here, what you're hearing from the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It was dangerous. He was sounding the alarm. That leaven, that leaven wasn't nothing but evil influence. When leaven is added to bread, and I may be getting a little ahead of myself. When the yeast, the leaven, the yeast, when it's added to the bread, it only takes a little bit, but that bread rises fully to the top to make a whole loaf. Think about these big loaves of bread that you can see. Just a little bit of yeast causes that loaf to come into a big, large loaf. So you can just imagine just a little bit of wrongness can affect a whole mass of people. And that whole mass of people go about affecting another whole mass of people. And I believe that's what's happening in the church today, in the churches today. Because the truth is really not being taught effectively. And not lining up with what the word has instructed, what the Father instructs. Let's go on. Seventh verse. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Yeshua perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason you among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not understand? Neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up, all them leftovers that were left. And you talking about forgetting to bring some bread? My. Your mind is on your stomach. Neither the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread? That you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine, the teachings of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees, because their doctrines were false. False doctrines. And see, that spirit's still here. It's in the church of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It's still around. And it's dangerous. Yes. He come against the corrupt teachings. He always put in the mind, this is what Paul was doing, always put in the minds of the readers, beware.
When you see signs, beware. Amen. We see signs around everywhere. Beware, dog. Beware, wet paint. Warning signs are always around us. Danger zones. Danger. It can say danger zones. Explosives are here. Don't open this gate. Don't touch this. Those are signs for us to beware. Be aware. Beware. Those are warning signs. They're all in the scriptures. They were written for our learning. Not only was Paul preaching this unto the Galatians, but this is for us today. We have to be prepared, warned, understand what we're listening to. Don't just take the pastor of what he's saying. Go back and do your research yourself of the scripture. We say that's why he said we have to prove ourselves unto the Most High, unto Elohim. Study to show ourselves approved unto him, not to man. We don't have time to be man pleasers. We need to be Father pleasers. Yes. And that's just not our goal, is not to please him. But when we're doing his covenant, that's what we do. And we are blessed. Yes, we are blessed. Blessed beyond measure. Hallelujah. I think I read this passage of scripture a couple weeks ago on the Wednesday morning prayer. Deuteronomy 28, the first 14 verses, talks about how blessed we are when we honor the covenant. When we honor the commandments, we're in covenant. We're in agreement. We've been blood bought into the covenant. We say that, but are we doing it fully? No. The majority of us are not. When we come into the knowledge of the truth, we have to honor that. We have to do it, the truth. Amen. We see all around us, as I just stated, those warning signs. And even through the scriptures, the warning signs always come. Amen. In Matthew, the 23rd and the 24th chapter, those warnings came. Now see, Matthew, he was a disciple. He walked right there with, so his account of writings, he was right there with Yeshua. Some of the others, like Luke, Mark, Lamar, they were given accounts of what they heard. They weren't in the presence of Yeshua, but Matthew was. He was right there. So his accounts, or I guess you could say much more viable of what he saw, because he was right there. And in Matthew 24 and 25, he talks about all those warnings. He lets us know the signs of the times. He lets us know. He tells us to be prepared. Don't be foolish virgins. He writes these parables from Yeshua. Those are warning signs to us continuously, letting us know that the corruption is come and is still here today. That spirit has not changed. It has not. We have to stay focused on our walk, our personal walk. Pay attention to the alert signals. We have to stop. We have to look. We have to listen. Just like the laws of the land. Oh, yeah, you hear people, we're going to obey the laws of the land, because if you run the red light, you get caught doing it, or you high-speed traffic, you're going to get a ticket. Oh, we want to obey those laws, most of us. Some of us still got a lead foot or a heavy foot and say, oh, I'm just going with the flow of traffic, going too fast, speeding. You're still breaking the law of the land. Well, guess what? When it comes to the word, you're breaking his commandments, the laws of his commandments, by not honoring them. We have to stop. Look. And listen. That should always be an alertness in our mind to pay attention. To pay attention. A couple weeks ago, we talked about watch and pray. See, all this, these messages just keep lining up. The Father just has me encouraging us. Encouraging us even the more to see what we see, to understand what we're looking at and what's really going on in this world. These things were already talked about. We shouldn't be caught off guard. We just need to pray even the more. It doesn't stop our prayers. Men ought to always pray and not faint, not lose heart. And see, that's what the enemy, that's why the focus when you turn the news on is so focused on these things to set fear in us. Fear is totally opposite of faith. See, we're walking, we're in a faith walk. This whole journey is faith. We serve a risen king. We're patterning our lives after a mighty Savior who died for the entire world. He shed his blood for the sin of the world. I even come to understand now, you know, pleading the blood in prayer. That's incorrect. Pleading the blood of Yeshua. His blood was shed for sin. We can plead it over the sins of people. But when we're praying in general or in situations and in circumstances, we don't just plead, well, I plead, but you know, that's incorrect if we're going to rightly divide the word of truth. Some things we're just doing out of what we was taught, what we heard, what we caught, and it was incorrect. But you know what? Our Father is so faithful. He's so good. He loves us so much. He wants us to know. He wants us to understand. He instructs us in all your getting of wisdom, which is applying his word, the principles. That's what Proverbs talks about, the principles of life. In all getting all the principles of life, that wisdom, to apply it to situations and circumstances. He said, get an understanding. We need understanding. We need to know what we understand, how we understand, why we understand. There's also the passage of scripture that tells when it's time to give an answer, we need to be able to give, that's in Colossians, I believe, be able to share why we believe what we believe. That's why we must study to show ourselves approved unto the Father. Man don't have the heaven or the hell to put us in. He don't have that right unless we give it to him. Just like Satan, he don't have a right to come in and overthrow us and overtake us and bewitch us in our thoughts unless we give him place. He doesn't have, he's an illegal entity. And unless we open up for him to come in, he's going to slither right on in. And once he's in, oh, he's going to try to invade the whole space of your mind, your thoughts. You know, sometimes we might say, I'm tired of this. I don't want to deal with this no more. No, you're going to endure. You're going to deal with it. You're going to endure it. He's given us the power to endure. Endurance. Hupomene. Yes. I'm not sure if that's a Hebrew or the Greek word, but that's one of those words for the word hupomene, endurance, hupomene. He's given us the power. He's given us the authority to endure. So first and foremost, we have to beware of where we are as an individual and where another person is, what they may be saying, what they may be sharing. You have to know where you are, what's going on. We don't have time to be judging other people by their appearance, by what they're saying. We don't have time for that. We just have to honor what the word says. Amen. Though the scripture does say, judge ye unto righteousness, you're going to know the fruit, by the tree, by the fruit that it bears. You're going to know that particular tree. That's an example. That's a parable. You're going to know an individual or where they are. It doesn't mean that they have fallen totally short, but you're going to know where they are by what's coming out of their mouth. But it's up to us to help encourage them with seasoned salt words, words that are seasoned with salt, that's bringing flavor to the conversation. Amen. If we're going to say anything at all. Amen. We have to practice that. We don't want to hide. I don't want to be hiding under any false pretense. Nothing false. You got people that still hiding today under false pretense. You know, they don't want to come to the truth of, I'm in prayer about some other situation. And I'm expecting the Father to answer me. And when he answers me, I will handle it in his love. Amen. I will handle it in his love. It will be right on time. Amen. We have to pray. When he gives you the truth of things, you can't just act out, just act and do certain things. You have to pray through it. Ask for his guidance through it. But he does want us to beware. There were some other passages of scripture also where he wants us to beware. Amen. Oh, let me kind of go back to, before we go there, it was a point I had a little notation here. I just happened to look down on my note. And I brought this out a little earlier about just a little bit of yeast makes that bread rise. Just a little bit of bad talking causes people to be scattered or to get some wrong teaching, and they go about teaching it wrong too. And I stated that, you know, that's happening now in the churches today, and we've been unlearned for a long time about the scriptures. That's just happening. This wrong teaching is just still happening. And sometimes you say, how can this little bit of, just like that little bit of yeast that was put in that bread, just a little bit, how can it cause that loaf of bread to swell up so big? Just a little bit of wrong teaching can cause people to turn away. Some get so confused, they turn away from the faith, period. See, the Father don't want us to be confused. Where confusion is, who's the author of confusion? Satan himself. He's the author of confusion. There's a lot of confused saints today. Confused. And even on this search for me, as I was searching, because my youngest son had some confusion going on. He listened to so much. He was like all over the YouTube listening to this, and he was confused. In his beliefs, he believed in the Messianic teaching. He believed that we should follow the commandments, and he was searching for truth. And as I was helping him search, I found it for myself. And I was so glad. I said, wow, these are questions I've had over years. And I was looking for him, but then I realized, wait a minute, this was for me as well. This was more so for me. I'm just so grateful. Let us go on back up to Matthew 7. Matthew still writing these accounts and teaching. Matthew 7. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. Continues to instruct us. Your word is that lamp unto our feet. That light unto our pathway. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. See, it's a lot of dressed up saints on the outside. That's why we have to even pray for discernment, that we will be able to discern what's you know, what's right and what's something not right about that. Something is not right about that person. You can sometimes, a lot of times I pray for that. When I go out, help me, Father, discern what I'm coming into. Because we're also instructed to know those who we labor among. Know those who labor among you. That's the same way. When you're in the presence of people, you want to know who you're laboring among. And you want to discern. I know I do. Because there are false prophets out there still teaching. The spirit is still in the world. That's why Yeshua gave that and it caused Matthew to write about it. He heard him say that. And I'm sure as Yeshua was teaching, he was taking notes. He was taking notes and wrote about this. See, they didn't have this. We do to follow. But we got to understand the history of what it's saying. Because you might go into the middle of a passage of scripture and it say one thing, but you didn't go from the beginning and you're like, well, what? And you share it wrong. I've done it over the years. I didn't just start teaching and sharing the word, but I made some mistakes in the past teaching the word. I have repented. Oh, yes. From all that, any wrong teaching that I've given out. I started to get to the point where I always liked the history of the word. But then I was having the questions and didn't know how to explain it too really well. The time is now for such a time as this. Yes, I'm grateful. So we have to beware. You can continue on reading that, talking about the false prophets. I just want to bring out a few passages of scripture. And then Matthew 10. And that verse, I'm going to break into this too. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the market and calling unto their fellows and saying, is that the right passage? No, I'm in the 11th chapter. I knew something didn't sound right with that. Let us back up to the 10th chapter of Matthew. I apologize. 16th verse, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. So see, here we already know. We got to beware, because when you teach the truth, you're going to be persecuted. Persecution is going to come. It's a part of walking this journey. But guess what? We still have and must teach the truth. The truth is what makes man free. The truth is what makes us as individuals free. When we're free and not bound, we're able to set others free where they won't be bound. Amen. The truth makes us free. It makes us free from the inside out. Yes, the Father's always doing the work. He's always working out what's worked in. We get this word in us. He's going to work it out of us. We can't help but share it and talk about it. We can't help but share and talk about it. And when others have a question or when others come back with a different passage of scripture, say, just ask them, show me that. And this is what the message was yesterday. Partly we had a minister that spoke on yesterday at the Shabbat service, and he brought that point out. Show it to me. You know, you don't have to defend anything what you're saying. You just know what you're saying. But then if they come back with something they've read in the script, okay, show that to me. Where you find that? Where is that in the scripture? And if they can't tell you, okay, when you find that, you come back and we'll talk again. You can do that in love. Amen. That's just the truth. Of the truth. Amen. I just want us to be aware. Beware of every warning sign. Amen. Because they're out there. They're out there. And even in Luke, another passage of scripture, talking about paying attention. Turn one's mind towards attention so you can guard against. Yeah. Luke 12. In the meantime, Luke 12, 1, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod upon another, it was so many people, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. They're hypocrites. Beware of the leaven, the teachings. Amen. The evil influence. Beware of the evil influence of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered. These are the words of Messiah, what Luke's giving his account of, from what he heard, that shall not be revealed, neither hid, that shall not be known. See, the truth is always going to come out. I don't care how you try to keep things a secret. If it's going against the Father, and especially if you don't repent and come clean with it, it will be revealed. Nothing. There's nothing hidden that won't be revealed. Nothing covered. So whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. What you've spoken in the ear in closet shall be proclaimed upon housetops. Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I forewarn you of whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he have killed have power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. In other words, have that reverence for the Father, for his word. That's who we should fear. Not a shaky, scary fear, but a reverence, an honor, where we fear his word that much. Amen? Amen. I love him so much. I want to do what he says because I've learned how much he loves me. He loves me so much he wants me to understand his truth. He wants me to understand it. And I'm thankful to him for that because I've always wanted to understand it. Thank you, Father. I just love him. There's one more that we want to bring out in Luke 20. Thank you, Father. Luke 20. I want to make sure I'm in the right path, in the right chapter. Luke 20, 46. Beware of the scribes. That's those who wrote the laws, who wrote them down, who wrote them on scrolls. Beware of the scribes, which desire to walk in long roads and love greeting in the markets and the highest seats in the synagogue and the chief rooms at the feast. You see a lot of that taking place in the church. It's so much going on. So much falseness. It's all about me. The minister who ministered at Shabbat yesterday, he even shared, part of his testimony, that he was very prideful. When he was in school, he said he was young. When he was young, he always wanted to be a preacher. He wanted to be, he said, when he drew a picture, drew a picture of himself when he was little, about seeing himself standing behind a podium preaching. That's what he wanted to be. He wanted to be a preacher, a pastor. I think he might have said pastor, but I know he said preacher. He said he wanted to preach that word. And he said when he was in high school, he said one time he bought 45 outfits for 45 days straight. He was sharp. And they said, where you going? He would go to school sharp. He said, oh, he would just be lying. Oh, I got an interview. He said he would go put in an application sometime after school. But he didn't have no interview. He said he had so much pride. He said he loved to hear the praise of me. He loved him giving him the accolade. Listen to this right here. That's what this passage is talking about.
Luke 20 and 46. Beware of the scribes, those who are writing the law, the Pharisees. It's talking about the Pharisees too. Those who practice, but they hated Yeshua. They hated what he stood for. My. I'm telling you, which desire to walk in long robes and love greetings in the market. I just had to read that one more time. And the highest seats in the synagogue. They want the highest seats so that they can get the praise. That's how those Pharisees were. They wanted you to do what their law said, the Jewish customs and traditions. They wanted you to do what they gave out for you to do, but they didn't want to do it themselves. You do what I say, not as I do, because I'm going to do how I want to do. That's how they work. You got pastors in pulpits the same way today. That spirit's still here, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Because you got some that's teaching, and they, like the Sadducees, they don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe there's life after death. They don't believe that. Ugh, my. It says, which devour widows' houses, and for show make long prayers, the same shall receive greater damnation. Whoa. That's why the scriptures say, everyone who says, did I not prophesy in your name? Did I not heal in your name? Did I not do this and did I not do that in your name? And what is the Father going to say? Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. See, we must learn this truth and teach this truth. Hallelujah. Rightly dividing. Line upon line, precept upon precept. We're instructed to do that. We are instructed to do that. We can't play and roll over as dead. We cannot. I think I might have taught on that at one point. Maybe not in this space. I'm not sure. But in Matthew 11, there's a verse there that tells us, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent taketh it by force. I said, when you bring that truth, persecution's going to come. We're going to suffer some violence. We are the kingdom here on earth. He tells us, instructs us in the prayer that was given. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. As it is in heaven. We are kingdom citizens. That's why I always stated, we want to be effective kingdom citizens, doing harm to Satan's kingdom, because his kingdom is here in this world. But we are here in this world to make the difference, to be effective kingdom citizens. To be bold, have an ardent zeal, hallelujah, about how we're bringing the truth. See, the assemblies that we go to should be our training grounds. And then when we're ready, we're launched out. We're launched out to be effective teaching the truth. We don't have time to get all caught up when someone says their time is up. From serving at that ministry or whatever. We don't have time to get caught up. We have to honor the commandments. And I challenge you today to go back and look at those commandments and look in Exodus 20. Hallelujah. That fourth commandment talking about the Sabbath, remembering it and keeping it holy. The seventh day is Shabbat, Saturday. That's the Sabbath. Always knew it. I always knew it. But was I honoring it and keeping it holy? No. But I am now. Father, when you begin to deal with me in a truth of a truth, you don't have to tell me twice. You don't have to tell me twice. I said, I got to line it up, Father. That's my, as I was seeking him for the next phase, the next part of the journey in this life, where he wanted me, what he wanted me to do. when he allowed me to stumble in the truth and he started really convicting me, I was like, woo, yes, you don't have to tell me twice. I need to re-gear some things. I already know what your word says about it, but was I honoring it? Was I keeping it holy? No, but I am now. I'm grateful to him for that. And no, oh, thank you, Father. He said, it's not time to say that yet. He shut my mouth and I heard him. I'm grateful for that this morning. But I'm thankful to him. Saints, we don't want to be bewitched. We don't want to be falsely taught, falsely represented too. Therefore, we'll be falsely representing the Father, the King of Kings. He is the King of Kings. We want to stay aware. Hallelujah. So we don't have to play dead. We can be have that ardent zeal that we need to be. We need to have as kingdom citizens. We need that ardent zeal with excellence, with assurance, with confidence in him. See, we don't boast within ourselves. Our boast is in him. It's about him. We're bringing glory and honor to his name. I just encourage you to get violent today. I encourage you to pay attention to not be bewitched, to be aware, to beware of your surroundings at all times. Those who's in your presence, those whose presence you're in, beware. Pray for discernment. We need these things. We need so we can know what's really going on around us so we can be effective in the kingdom. So we can get committed to the thing of Elohim. Hallelujah. And anybody that comes and tries to withstand or attempt to take it away from you, you've got that violent force about you. And it's him. He's the driving force. He's in us. He's living in us. For it's in him that we live and move and have our very being. No other way are we living and moving. We're not living and moving in our own strength. He gave us the strength that we have, and it's in him. Hallelujah. It's through him. It's by him. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. As we continue to trust the example that we have, Yeshua Messiah, he is our example. He walked on this earth, Jehovah, provider of all things. He walked on this earth as him. In the flesh. Hallelujah. I don't want to be like the Israelites, wandering around trying to figure it out. Been there, done that too long. With all the questions I had, I'm so grateful. They're getting answered. The questions are getting answered. Hallelujah. The Father knows how to deal with us as individuals. He starts with us one-on-one. Then he wants us to come united together in the faith as a collective body. We need each other. Iron does sharpen iron. What you bring to the table, I may not understand that well. What I bring to the table, you may not understand it well. But we are there to help one another. But the only way I can be helped at this point in my life is with the truth of the truth. That's the only way I can be helped. That's what I want. Yeah, I'm tired now. It's time out for wondering. I want to hold on. I don't have time to be playing dead. As we talked about, you know, last week, we got to change. There's always a change taking place.
week before we talked about watching and praying. We got to always watch and pray. We got to beware. Be aware of what's really going on, saints. So I encourage you today. I pray that you heard something that's going to make a difference in your walk with your Creator. I pray that you've heard something that's going to make you turn around and go in the opposite direction that's pleasing unto Him, that follows after His commands, because they never changed. He said it in Malachi, I am Elohim, I am Jehovah, I change not. If He had changed, hallelujah, we would be consumed already. And then He came right back and said in the New Testament, Yeshua said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why the commandments, He said, teach them for generations to come. What made us stop? I was in a conversation with one of my fellow sisters at the Shabbat service from HOI and House of Israel, and she made a statement, and it's so true. I remember when I was a little girl, when you would go inside the church, you would see the Ten Commandments posted in the churches. You don't even see that anymore. But see, I don't go to a church, which is really the ecclesia. I go to the assembly, which is a con. I go to a gathering, an assembly. That's what an ecclesia is. Look it up. Look up the Hebrew word that got changed. And then it got divided with all these denominations. All these denominations of men. Whew. I don't have time for that. I just want to be in the will of my Father. I don't want to be all caught up in the traditions of man. I want to be caught up in the will of my Father and what His word says and what His word means. And I'm still learning. We all are. None of us have arrived. We won't arrive until we're working, I pray. We're living, I pray, to hear Him say, well done. Not depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. My. Thank you, Father. At this time, I'm going to unmute the line. If anyone has a comment pertaining to the message or a question pertaining to the message or even a prayer request, I will be more than happy to answer and pray. Amen. And not, we are going to pray and dismiss. Hallelujah. And end for now. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Thank you for this time that you allowed us to spend in your presence. One more time. We're always in your presence. Help us to continuously be reminded of that. That will probably tame us down even the more. Help us, Father, to know that you're always with us, because you promised never to leave us nor forsake us. We're grateful for that. As we go about this week, as we're starting a new week today, we thank you that you're with us. You're going to carry us through. You already know what's going to take place. Hallelujah. We thank you for governing everything that takes place today, for being in control of everything that takes place concerning our lives. We thank you. We give you, hallelujah, leeway. We give you, hallelujah, total access to have your way
in our lives. I know I do. Let your divine will continue to be orchestrated in our lives. Father, as we're gaining your wisdom, hallelujah, your knowledge, in all that gaining, we ask that you give us your understanding. For you said in all you're getting, to get an understanding. And we thank you for that. Your word is truth. And you said it never returns back void. As you and I continue to share your word and others here listening go about being disciples by you, making disciples for you, hallelujah, let us do it with your truth, hallelujah. Thank you for your help, the Holy Spirit, who is our inward paraclete, helping us, speaking to our spirit, leading us and guiding us every step of the way. Where we're not sure, help us to step back and make sure we're hearing from you. Father, we just thank you. Continue to take the reins. Hallelujah. We want you to be the pilot, not the co-pilot of our lives. And we thank you. We lift up our family members. Hallelujah. You know what they need. Hallelujah. We lift up every household need that's connected, that hears the sound of my voice right now. We thank you. Jehovah, you are providing everything that we need. For you said you would give us, and you have given us everything that pertains to this life and kingdomness. Your kingdomness for kingdom building. We thank you for that. We give you praise. We give you glory, and we give you honor. You know what we all may be facing right now? We give you praise. We give you glory and honor in advance to cover it, to work it out. You're already working on it. Manifest the work out. And we thank you. We give you praise. We give you glory. And we give you honor because we can't give it to you enough. You alone are worthy. As we go forth throughout this week, thank you for travels of mercy. Whatever method and mode of transportation we're going throughout this week, we thank you for covering us. And it's in the Son of your, it's in your Son's name, Yeshua, we pray. Amen, amen. And glory. Go in his shalom peace until the next time. Shalom, shalom.